I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby joins me to discuss new efforts to encourage people to testify in criminal court cases and the services her office makes available to witnesses and victims of crime. Can prosecutors and police put a stop to the stop snitching mentality? And a new exhibition at the Baltimore Museum of Art traces the lineage of the surrealism movement to wars in the 1930s and 1940s. Monsters and Myths opens at the BMA on Sunday. We have a preview, plus a tribute to the legendary singer Ethel Ennis. Baltimore's First Lady of Jazz died this week at the age of 86. That's all coming up when Midday gets underway right after these headlines. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. In the fall of 2002, Angela Dawson called police to report drug dealers across the street from her East Baltimore home. One of those men, Daryl Brooks, retaliated by firebombing the Dawson home, killing Angela, her husband Carnell, and their five children. Brooks was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. The site of the Dawson home now houses the Dawson Safe Haven Center, where children come after school to do homework and art projects. It remains to be seen if police will be able to make arrests in any of the seven shootings that occurred in Baltimore City yesterday. Two more shootings took place early this morning. 14 people were shot. Five of them died. According to the Washington Post, in 2014, police made arrests in 41% of homicide cases here in Baltimore. Last year, they made arrests in only 27% of homicides. The clearance rate for violent crimes, meaning the cases police believe to be solved, has risen in recent years, but it still stands at less than half. It's been 15 years since the underground film Stop Snitching made the rounds of some of Baltimore's most impoverished neighborhoods. It featured gang members urging witnesses to stay silent when asked by police to cooperate in criminal investigations. Police and prosecutors say that the stop snitching mentality is still one of the major barriers they face when investigating many cases of violent crime. I'm joined now on the line from her office in Baltimore by City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby. Last week, she announced a new initiative in the Victims and Witnesses Services Unit, which was established as part of the state's attorney's office more than 40 years ago. Madam State's Attorney, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Although we're all, of course, very, very disconcerted and disheartened about the increasing level of violence that our city is seeing. Let's start by asking you to define the scope of the problem when it comes to witnesses who are reluctant to testify in trials, and sometimes even victims who are reluctant to cooperate in investigations.
So I think the scope is far-ranging, and I think that when we look at what's happening in our city, it's rather unfortunate, but you just mentioned about 15 years ago, this stop snitching mentality, this Dawson, incident created and ushered in a culture of witness intimidation that we are seeing still in the city of Baltimore, and not just in the city of Baltimore, but all across this country. And that's what we're fighting up against. We prosecute approximately 40 to 50,000 cases a year in Baltimore City. I can tell you that almost 5,000 felonies a year. Last year, we had to get rid of approximately 35% of our cases we had to dismiss had to do with a lack of victim-witness cooperation. And so, what I've attempted to do is understanding the importance of, getting these individuals that are very small number of individuals that define that negative perception about our city off of the streets and to hold them accountable. The criminal justice system is ineffective without the trust and the cooperation of our victims and our witnesses. So what we've attempted to do is to try to prioritize, reallocate our resources so that we can garner the trust of the community for victims and witnesses to come forward. We launched a campaign just last week, which is entitled You're Not Alone, Together We Are Stronger, where essentially you will hear the stories of real time authentic stories from the perspective of family members who have been impacted by crime in the city of Baltimore that are highlighting the array of services that we offer. You know, we launched this campaign, and you'll see it by way of billboards and public service announcements that will run on TV and radio stations across the city. But we really want to be able to affect those victims and witnesses and to inform them of the services that we offer.
There's, you know, obviously there's going to be some utility to having an ad campaign. There's even going to be an app for people to be able to use to communicate with your office. But the culture, the understanding, the distrust that exists between members of the community, particularly communities of color, and the police, and even, I guess, the distrust that exists between those same communities and your office, the lack of confidence that your office and the police, for example, can keep these witnesses protected and keep them safe during the course of these trials. I wish you all the best when it comes to the ad campaign and getting the stories out there. But it seems that it's going to take a whole lot more to change people's fundamental feelings about the state's attorney's office and the police.
So you're absolutely right, and it has to be a multifaceted sort of approach. But this is a start to that, right? And this is just one milestone. We overhauled our website. We have this make so that it's a lot more user-friendly. If you go to togetherweareStronger.com, it automatically directs individuals to, you know, the victim witness services that we offer. As you mentioned, we launched a community court watch app for the communities to allow them to follow the case dispositions on your both Android and the iPhones. And these powerful testimonies that tell real-life experiences where we offer court accompaniment and victim witness relocation and sign language interpreters and victim impact statements and arranging transportation. You know, the state's attorney's office is the only state's attorney's office in the entire state that offers lifetime grief counseling. And since these past 4 years when we've been in office, you know, we've secured a record $4.1 million in the Victims of Crime Act grant funding that has allowed us to double the size of the Victim Witness Service unit. It's allowed us to start and service more victims and witnesses of crime. In 2015, we serviced 546 victims and witnesses. Last year alone, we serviced 11,198. So we're able to, you have to approach it from multi sort of layers. You're absolutely right. We've conducted 5,512 counseling sessions, right? This is really a public information campaign so that people understand at the end of the day, you are not alone. The way that we've been able to secure convictions and convict every single public enemy number one with the exception of two individuals, and you got to think about this. These individuals were deemed by the Baltimore Police Department as the worst of the worst, right? These are individuals who have the first public enemy number one shot two women in broad daylight and critically injured another one by shooting her in the head. And it was not because of my most talented prosecutors, which I attest to, and not just because of the police who are risking their lives each and every day, but those victims and those witnesses who came forward. We were able to secure life plus 240 years against an individual who violated our community. When you look at the public enemy number two, this was an individual who lured somebody onto a playground in broad daylight and shot him twice in the head in front of his pregnant girlfriend. And the way we were able to secure a life sentence plus 50 years was because that woman, God rest her soul, Gloria Hertzfeldt, who lived in that community for 40 years and said, absolutely not in my neighborhood. That's the individual that did it. So we are approaching this from various, you know, perspectives, but this is just one of them.
And the other issue that you're dealing with, and it's been endemic in the court system now for some time, is jurors' reluctance to believe testimony from police, and sometimes even to believe testimony of people who do step forward. You talk about public enemy number ones, Darius Neal, 18 years old. In 2017, he was accused of shooting to death Charmaine Wilson. She's 37 years old at the time. She had eight children. He was brought to trial in November of last year, and 2 days of deliberation, the judge had to order a mistrial. The jury was hung. Now, your office has said that you're going to retry the case. I know you can't speak to specific cases, but the distrust goes from the police to the prosecutors to the judicial system in general.
And you're absolutely right. It runs deep. And, you know, that's why I feel that it's incumbent, you know, as the administrator of the criminal justice system, to be able to break down those barriers of distrust. And this is something, you know, as a line assistant that I saw each and every day when I was trying cases, was we would go in front of these juries and people were so distrustful of the criminal justice system that even when they felt an individual was guilty, they were distrustful of police, they were distrustful of prosecutors, they were distrustful of judges, that even when they felt an individual was guilty, they weren't inclined to convict. And so that's the reason why, you know, we've focused so much on prioritizing victims and witnesses. That's the reason why, you know, in my office, we've created a community engagement division where I've personally gone out to 1,500 community association churches and schools. We have community liaisons that, you know, go out and are the face of the office into the community and the voice of the community back to the office. This is the reason why we need that level of transparency. And I want to be able to inform those that we rely upon the most, which is the community. You know, it's really unfortunate when we have seniors who are shot in broad daylight or babies, 7-year-olds, that are killed in broad daylight, and nobody is willing to come forward. That is what we have to change, and we cannot change the trajectory of our city unless and until we understand that we're stronger together.
To date, according to your website, there are 481 people in a witness relocation program. With this initiative and the monies that you've gotten from the federal government and some from the state and some from grants, allow you to increase the number? I mean, is that part of the answer, to simply relocate these folks out of the city of Baltimore?
So, no, it's not cut or dry, but this is one of the ways in which we can assist. We offer relocation services, and, you know, the demand under my administration since 2015, we've relocated more than 30% more families due to witness intimidation. So in 2015, we relocated 96 individuals, 2016, 131, 2017, 125, and 2018, 129. So that's a total of 481 families. And thankfully, because we're going to do everything that we can to be able to protect and support victims and witnesses of crime, we've been running a deficit, and you know, over a $360,000 deficit. And so last year we went down to Annapolis, and the legislators thankfully gave us the $360,000, which allows us to be fiscally responsible. But Governor Hogan took it to a whole nother level, thankfully, and actually put in his budget $2.3 million for us to be able, well, he's earmarked $2.3 million for us to be able to relocate families if needed. And so, you know, now it's just on the legislators as to whether or not they'll keep it in the state budget, but it's definitely something that's needed.
Oftentimes, about 80%, 86% of the victims of violent crimes and 85% of the suspects identified by police had prior criminal records. Sometimes your victims in one crime are suspects in other crimes. Does that complicate things?
I mean, it complicates things, but it doesn't make anyone any less of a victim of a homicide or an attempted murder. And we treat every victim of crime the same way. You know, we want to ensure that when it comes to the violating the streets of Baltimore City and, you know, you going out here and attempting to murder people in broad daylight, that you're held accountable. But the only way that we can do that at the end of the day is when the community feels that they're supported and they'll be protected. And that's what this campaign is all about. We want to be able to support you, and we are here vowing to protect you.
And we need to let you go in just a minute. But one last question, and that is, you mentioned that about 35% of cases had to be dropped because of lack of cooperation between victims and witnesses. That amounts to about 300 cases. That means 300 people who you are pretty sure committed violent crimes are released back on the streets. I mean, what can you say today to assure victims and witnesses that those people are not going to be subject to retaliation and violence?
And so, you know, what we can say is that we have these services that we can offer you. And it's not actually 300 people. It's less than that, because altogether it was about 900 cases that we dismissed, and 35% of the 900 were due to a lack of victim-witness cooperation and or the victim or witness failed to appear. This is why we are running this campaign. There are so many, you know, services that we can offer folks. And it's a reminder that at the end of the day, there are more of us than there are of the small number of individuals that define that negative perception. And unless and until we come together and understand that together we're stronger, then we'll continue to see the level of violence that we've seen in our city.
Well, Madam State's Attorney, I wish you great luck in this initiative. I hope it works, and I appreciate your time today. Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Marilyn Mosby is Baltimore City State's Attorney. Coming up on Midday, a tribute to the great jazz singer Ethel Ennis. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.